This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal? Or
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on, and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good-sized man or something that looks like a man. I don't know what it was, just that it ran across the yard. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sure.
See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Okay. And the guy is on foot?
It's a big, real big person, that's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
Yeah, I'd say it was a person, somebody really big, but he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
Strange, the unwatched and the unwatchable.
And the unlistenable.
And the unlistenable.
Right?
That's us, the unlistenable.
Johnny and Billy here, and we talk strange topics, UFOs, Bigfoots, ghosts, near death, afterlife, all that good conspiracies, all that good junk. Now, last week, you were out sick.
I was sick last week,
so Star
week,
Mom came in with her friend to talk about her friend's experiences with UFOs and abductions. We really missed you.
Star Mom always does a good job.
Are you feeling better?
She's awesome. A little bit, you know. I was...
Did you get the coronavirus or something?
Yeah, too many coronas. I was hung over for a week.
Woo, Super Bowl!
But, no, I was very, very sick. I don't know what it was. On top of that, when just as the flu was letting up, and I was able to get 2 feet away from the bathroom, yeah, my right knee swelled up and got big, and I couldn't stand on it. And I don't know what that's all about. But
I have a conspiracy that just popped in my head.
What is it?
Maybe the coronavirus is a human-made thing.
Well, you know, you're not the first person to think of that.
Really?
Actually, yes. Even in the mainstream media, that has popped its head up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, on the, you know, the back pages, the backdoor media, that's been talked about openly. So, I don't know. I don't know if there's any merit to that. I don't really know much about this virus other than it's killing people at a very rapid rate.
I heard Australia was the first to reproduce it, like to you know, like recreate it, because in order to, you know, they want to try to recreate it,
right,
in order to, you know, fix
to
it or
develop a vaccine.
A vaccine, right. Usually the United States is the first, the leader in all that, but since our health care system is taking
a
tumble.
One of the worst in the world.
Oh, boy. All right. Go Obamacare. Yay. So could it be Mother Nature's way of thinning the herd?
It could be, you know, but it's a virus that has not been seen before. The symptoms mimic, you know, flu-like things, but I guess it develops quite rapidly. I saw an article this morning that said that more than 500 people now have died in China, and there's some people in Japan that are very ill. There was a cruise ship that was quarantined in Japan, and there's now, I think there's 3 cases right here in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, these people have come over here from China that were either there.
Stay
visiting.
There.
Well, yeah, but they got to come home. They live here.
Well, wait till they get better.
So, yeah. What if they don't get better, though? Of course, they're probably better off in China with their medical system than they are
right.
with ours.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, did you see any UFOs or Sasquatch while you were sick?
We went out to take the dog out the other night, and there was a big bright light in the sky, but I think it was just Mars showing itself off. Usually it's pretty bright. Maybe it was Venus or one of those others. Might have even been Jupiter. Who knows?
So it didn't look like a star.
It didn't really look like a star because it was really bright.
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't moving or going anywhere or doing anything. So I think, and it was a little hazy that night. So sometimes that magnifies the light, you know, when there's a light haze like that.
Oh, right, right.
So it's like that's why the moon looks bigger sometimes because it the moisture in the air.
There's supposed to be some kind of moon, kind of like a blood moon or one of those moons to where, you know, it's closer to the Earth and blah, 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 so it looks bigger and brighter. I forgot what they called it, though, like a super-duper...
Supermoon.
Super duper trooper moon.
Yeah, super moon. Isn't that what they call it? A super moon?
Something like that. They got different names for different things. I forget them all because I'm old.
Yeah, you're getting old, Johnny. You're an old man.
Yep.
Getting old and cranky.
I know. I know. It just it broke my heart the other day. Daisy or Gracie encountered a mean person.
Oh.
Yeah, you know. They you know, they interact with, you know, people and other kids and stuff, but most of the people that we're around and that we expose them to are nice people, are good people and nice people.
Yeah.
Well, she got a dose of a not nice person the other day, and she's not used to that. She's used to being around nice people, right?
Yeah.
And I've told her and her sister both, you know, just throughout them, their lives that, you know, throughout your life, you're going to meet people and encounter people that aren't nice, you know. So it's you're going to have to, you know, learn how to deal with not nice people. And
that's
this
right.
was just a prime example of her, you know, meeting a not nice person. But that's not the strange thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, kids aren't equipped, though, to deal with mean people because kids are open and accepting. And
right. And they're not born mean.
No.
For the most part, they're not.
No.
You know, 99.999%.
There's a few that like to tear the wings off flies when they're born. But
right.
Right. You know, it's not many. And your kids are good kids, you know.
Right. They are.
They're
they
trusting.
Be.
They care about people.
I'll beat them if they don't.
That's right.
No. I'm kidding. Jiminy cricket. Okay, so... Do you want to talk about Sasquatch sightings or UFO sightings or something else?
I was going to tell you about this moon that we just talked about.
What is the moon called?
Snow Moon.
Okay.
And it's the full moon. It's this Sunday. And
it's tonight.
It's tonight.
Yeah, it's tonight.
Yeah, so it's tonight. It is the full moon, and it's in the wee hours. So go out and look at the moon when you see it. That's the snow moon. It's called the super moon or the snow moon.
See, I usually bark at the moon. Ow!
Oh, and that might have been Mercury that I saw.
Yeah?
Because it says here that the snow moon rises with Mercury.
Okay.
So, all right, let's talk about UFO sightings.
Well... Apparently, a guided missile cruiser sailing about 100 miles from San Diego detected unusual radar signals from an object in the region.
Yeah.
The signals were erratic, did not correspond to any known aircraft. Two FA-18s from the USS Nimitz were launched to intercept the object. Commander David Fravor, A 24-year veteran in the U.S. Navy pursued the object, took video images of what he described as a tic-tac-shaped object about 40 feet in length. Five Navy veterans were interviewed by Popular Mechanics magazine about their experiences following the engagement of Commander Fravor with the object. Unusual radar signals came from the object as it would immediately alter its altitude, sometimes at 80,000 feet and other times at 30,000 feet. Gave off a phosphorescent glow at night and would dart around in various directions. And these Navy officers are claiming that unknown individuals erased evidence in this.
Unknown individuals?
Yes.
Unknown by who?
Unknown individuals.
Well, there wasn't anybody I knew, so they must be unknown.
Right.
And they have, these unknown individuals have information about this? Unknown information.
All I'm told are naval officers are saying unknown individuals erased evidence.
Well, the question is, if they don't know who did it, how do they know it was done?
Well, I think the naval officers knew that the evidence was there, and then all of a sudden it wasn't there.
And then it wasn't there. What did they erase it from? Did they have it recorded on a computer
that.
Or something?
I don't have that information.
Well, I like all the information.
I know. The more info, the better, right?
That's true. The more we have, the better off we are. Easier it is to find the truth when you have more information.
Okay. Sasquatch sightings.
Sasquatch. The Bigfoot.
I want to report a sighting of a huge Bigfoot. As my husband and I often do, we were taking a shortcut across the mountain, heading home. As I was driving along the river, there was a very strange-looking, what I thought was an odd-looking man. And as we passed it, I said to my husband, "This is a strange-looking person." And as I looked into the rearview mirror, it stood up on the road and was watching us drive away. And this is when I realized what it really was. I told my husband that it was a Bigfoot. In a panic, I drove away, and my husband insisted that we turn around and go back. I was in tears from the fear, but we found an area to turn around, and I do so. As we approached the area, we saw it on the side of the road watching us. He was huge. My husband got out of the car to get a better look, and he couldn't believe what we were looking at. It had to be at least 8 to 9 feet tall, covered in long black hair all over its body. It was massive. We were about 100 yards away, and nothing was obstructing our view. I yelled at my husband to get back into the car, and I managed to turn my Jeep around, and I got the heck out of there.
Well, you know, this interests me, because why are people so afraid of Bigfoot? I mean, yes, he's big and hairy.
They
and
look
ugly.
Intimidating. They look
They're
scary.
Intimidating, but we have no evidence that any Bigfoot has ever harmed
anyone.
It's that
anyone. Fear of the unknown.
Yeah, it's you know, just like the UFOs. We have no evidence that UFOs have ever done harm to anyone.
Well, some experiencers.
Yeah, some abductees think they've been done harm to. But
right.
With Sasquatch, I mean, this is a creature that, you know, certainly has the ability to just avoid you. It's like when you're driving down the street and there's a crow standing in the middle of the street. You know, even if you don't slow down, the crow is going to get out of the way. Because it senses you coming. It senses danger. At the last minute, it flies off. And, you know, I think it just taunts us sometimes.
Yeah.
Hit me if you can. but I think that Bigfoot is kind of the same way. I mean, they sense people. And if there's danger from someone, they're going to run off. They're going to run away. I don't think that they're aggressive. We don't have any reports of them being aggressive or attacking people.
Unless they're attacked first or, like, caught at or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they might throw rocks at you or something. But, yeah, I think that it's our fear that drives them away, that keeps them at a distance from us. If we had less fear, I think that we'd probably have a better relationship with the Bigfoot. What do you think?
I know what I've experienced, and I was afraid, and I was told I didn't have to be. I wasn't going to get killed, but I was still afraid. I'm not afraid of much, and that was one thing I was afraid of, was just, you know, being surrounded by him. But anyway.
What did you think they were going to do to you?
I don't know. It's just, you know, they could tear your limbs off and beat you with them and pull your intestines out, and there'd be nothing you could do about it.
That's true, but we have no reports of that happening.
Exactly, but still. When you're in that situation, you might think different, but you've died before, so it's like...
I have a little different perspective on death, you know. If I'm facing it, it's going to come, I just relax.
Okay, here's another sighting. I was headed home from work about 11 p.m. or later. I remember it was a bit on the cool side. I believe it was late fall, early winter. I was not far from the old sanitation department off the highway when I caught with my headlights a large upright creature that straddled the fence without missing a beat. The fence was near a ditch, and the fence was still about 4 feet high. The closest homes were about a half mile down the road. This was mostly intersecting fields. A blonde Bigfoot is the closest I can get to describing what I saw that night. It made me so scared that it took hours to calm down when getting back to an empty house. What was unusual was its light color, its speed. It being upright and generally nothing scares me. This scared me to death. Thank goodness it was running in the opposite direction as my home. Another sighting. When hunting elk by Black Powder near Kelso, Washington, my wife and I were parked off a Lexington Row. We were walking up power lines about three or four ridges in when we stopped for a morning break to view and scout the open areas under the lines. The open areas are about 60 to 80 yards wide, cleared from side to side. About 100 to 150 yards or so ahead of us on the next ridge, we seen a bipedal figure come out of the tree line and just stand there frozen and stare out at the clearing, not moving at all, for what seemed to be 3 or 4 minutes. We were very perplexed as to what was going on, and if it was a person not dressed in hunting orange. Most people don't remain still for that length of time. What was it doing? All of a sudden, it took off and graciously walked across the clearing of this hilltop and to the other side very quickly with long strides and then lost into the other side of the tree line. After calming my wife down, as she was real excited as to what we believed we had just seen, she almost was yelling, "Terry, it's a Bigfoot! It's a Bigfoot!" We very slowly proceeded down the hillside and up the other to see if we could find any tracks. When we got there, it was very obvious that tracks were out of the question as the hilltop was old gravel road. The color was almost a light oak color, not black from head to toe. From that distance, it was hard to judge height, but I was guessing around 7 feet, maybe more. It was around 8 a.m. that this happened.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That the we've heard other people say they've seen kind of a reddish blonde colored Sasquatch, so that's interesting that they should mention that.
So we were driving, very windy. We had to slow down due to turns and the danger of the steep drop-offs on the hillside. I was a front seat passenger, high beams on, driving no more than 25 to 30 at the max visibility of the headlight. I see the outline of a large upright being running across in front of us and leaping the bank on the high side of the road, instantly disappearing into rhododendron thickets. I freaked out upon first visual and alerted my friends. The driver hit the brakes, windows opened. We could hear thrashing of the ground from running, but the sighting was over. My friend, the driver, did see movement but couldn't make out what I made out. We both agreed on the sound of it fleeing up the steep slope. What solidified my two friends' belief in what I saw was the look of fright and amazement on my face. Features of the upright being I saw were large, thick, long hair-covered legs, human-like strides, and tall enough that the headlights did not focus above its midsection, so I couldn't make out facial features. We were not drinking or doing any illegal substances. Every one of them, they're getting scared.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand the fear. I mean, I would be curious. I would want to go see more. I want to go verify. You know, I want to get a good look at it, if I could. And if I'm not acting in an aggressive manner, I don't think it would act in an aggressive manner either.
You're probably right.
It would accept me. I mean, it might run away simply because... You know, I'm probably just as threatening to it as it is to me. And so, it might run away. But I would be curious to want to go see and verify, even if I couldn't take a picture, verify with my own eyes what I saw.
My husband and I were driving home around 9 p.m., completely dark outside by this time. We were going around 60 miles an hour. My husband was on high alert for deer. We were just talking to each other when we approached the right-hand turn off the road. My husband fell silent. He saw a very large, very tall bipedal creature running toward the road from the left-hand side. Within a split second, I also saw this creature as it continued approaching the road at a full run. It entered into the peripheral of our headlights and came within 2 to 3 feet of the driver's side window. Comparing the creature to our truck, it had been nearly 8 feet tall, as it was slightly slouched while running and was a head taller than our truck. It had blondish red fur and domed shoulder head area. Since we were going around 60 when all this happened, it ended up barely missing our truck and crossing the road behind us. We didn't speak for 15 to 20 seconds until my husband finally said, "What was that?" We immediately turned around and traveled down the road in the direction it went behind us. We didn't hear or see anything. We also used the spotlight from the truck to look along the road on both sides, where we initially saw it, but did not see any disturbances. The next morning, we stopped at the exact spot, looked for anything, didn't see anything. Yeah, everybody just, you have the shock, like, and you keep going, you keep driving, like, because you're processing what you just saw, like, oh, I got to go back. But by that time, you know, it's long gone.
Yeah, that's...
Or hiding.
I guess I'm just surprised that people are so afraid of these creatures. It's the same with UFOs. I mean, if a UFO landed in my backyard, I'd want to go greet them.
Get off my lawn! Shake your fist at them.
And,
I just mowed!
Get your little green butts off my lawn. But, yeah, I guess maybe I'm just a different kind of person, because I would not fear them. I would want to talk to them and communicate, or, you know, at least get close enough to see what they are.
Get one in a headlock or something.
Get one in a headlock. Take them down. But, I think that, you know, if we're curious about them and they're curious about us, you know, we can probably meet in the middle and have a discussion about it.
One more and then we'll take a break.
Okay? All right.
A large blackish-brown figure walked out from behind a clump of trees. It stepped out from behind the bushes, looked at traffic, then ducked back down into the woods. I have had a sighting in the same area. This creature matches somewhat the published reports of the same area, that being near this particular spot. What I saw was impossible to fake with a costume. The creature was approximately 8 feet tall, and it had obviously articulated muscles as it moved from the edge of the road down a gully and into the tree line. The movement, particularly down on the deep slope and on the other side, would make it almost impossible for a human in a suit to accomplish. There was another additional car with witnesses. I'm currently a state government official and do not wish to have my identity published.
Again, why? If you don't think that you're insane, why would you think other people might think that? And why would you care? Even if you're a state official, I have a very low opinion of most state officials anyway. I think that might actually
improve it. Improve it.
So.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and we'll talk more sightings or something. I don't know. Witches, warlocks.
Witches and warlocks and strange beings, strange creatures, creatures of the night with Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. And, you know, I got to apologize. I was working on trying to get guests for the show today, and I just got tired. and I was over it, and I'm just like, whatever.
So, if any of you out there would like to produce the show, help us find guests, give us a call.
My daughter attends a university, and I just started finishing getting her settled in her dorm room. Stocked up on groceries, other essentials. I left in late morning to head back home. All through the first hour or so, there was tremendous rain bands like we're used to. As I was traveling on the interstate, the trailer trucks have put up a literal fog of water spray, so I wasn't going more than 50. As I got out of the last rain band, the sky got brighter and brighter to a point where I could get back up to 70. I was still following a car at about 10 car lengths. I checked the rear view. No traffic behind, and I remember looking around the car ahead and nothing for some distance. I was just about ready to pass the white car when he put on his brakes, and I closed distance to him fairly quickly. I braked, also not knowing what was ahead of him, maybe a tire carcass, and he could swerve into my lane as I could pass him. Even though I'm driving a pickup truck, I ride a motorcycle and sort of drive like I ride, very defensively. As I slowed, I noticed some movement off the road. We were both in the right lane. On the other side of the guardrail, something caught my eye. We had just came over either a swampy area or a small creek, so there was a guardrail over that area. Still, there was a gully between the guardrail and the tree line, maybe 20 feet deep. Almost instantly, I thought bear, but wrong color. Our bear here are jet black. And if they stand, and you have a rare chance to see that, they aren't very tall. And the next thought I had was a man, maybe in a ghillie suit, but wrong again. This was not material. It was hair, matted down, wet hair. And the height, maybe 8 feet. It was huge. So as I saw it, by this time I'd almost stopped. The car ahead had directly ahead of the creature and stopped, or was very slow. What I saw was a living creature, everything articulated perfectly, head, arms, and legs. I had a profile of a back view of it, saw its muscles in the upper back. The color wasn't exactly uniform, but varied between shades of chocolate brown. The head looked rounded. I couldn't see ears or a neck, but it definitely had a head and looked down before stepping into the gully. At that time, I saw arms that moved, but really saw the separate legs and saw what was matted hair stuck together from the leg. It stepped down, rounded the gully, and out the other side to go into the tree line. Its motion was very smooth, almost like it was gliding. I've heard that before. So even if a man could don a suit and act like an 8-foot-tall living creature, how did he manage to walk down a steep embankment that was grassy and wet? Any human would be on his ass or tumbled dangerously down that embankment. Anyway, I hurriedly called the wife, who laughed at me for a minute or two, but then realized I was serious. She said to get the license plate of the car, which I didn't. I was surprised I hadn't done any of that, getting my location. Frankly, I think I was dazed. I know there's someone else that saw this thing. That's about it. I would estimate this thing weighed about 400 to 500 pounds. It wasn't fat or barrel-chested. It wasn't skinny either, like it didn't have enough to eat. It was healthy and athletic in appearance, and it sure
had six-pack abs.
Right, and it sure covered a difficult area in no time. Another 8 foot.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. You know, if a person was wearing a big, heavy costume like that, because it would have to be heavy because of all the hair, you know, and you'd have to have some kind of foot thing, you know, a boot or something, you know, otherwise you'd see that it was fake. And with the hands, and you'd have to have something over your head. It would be very difficult to maneuver, you know, to even to walk through the woods. And you'd be clumsy and probably falling down if you tried to move too fast. I know one time I was the local Santa Claus at the children's home.
The one-eyed Santa Claus.
The one-eyed Santa Claus and Cyclops Santa Claus, they called it. But, you know, when I put all the Santa gear on with the boots and the pants and a little extra belly at the time, I needed a little extra belly. Today I don't. And, you know, and the hat and the beard and the whole business. It was hard to move around, and that thing was hot, even on a winter night. So I can't imagine being out in the woods wearing a big costume like that. And if you were out there wearing a big costume, how would you know how to be in people's line of sight? Because most of these people kind of stumble on this. They're not, you know, it's not a setup where they make an appointment to see the Sasquatch. So that person would have to be out there in the woods for a while with that suit on. It just seems to be kind of an irrational notion that someone would wear a big heavy suit like that and roam around in the woods. Although there are some strange people out there that might do something like that. But it just seems odd. You know, Bigfoot is so fascinating because there are so many facets. There are so many different angles to look at, you know. Why are they here? What are they doing here? You know, what do they eat? How do they behave? Do they hate people? Do they like people? Do they eat nuts and berries? Do they eat deer?
Do they eat rabbits?
Do they eat people? There are disappearances, you know, out in the woods. People disappear in the woods all the time. And I suppose that could be, you know, maybe Bigfoot having a little snack. We don't have any evidence of that, and you would think, you know, that if Bigfoot, you know, kind of pulled you apart limb by limb and ate you raw without cooking you, I mean, they would probably get sick. Human beings are filled with disease and stuff that they wouldn't have immunity to. So, you know, eating a human being would probably make them very, very ill.
Right. Especially with what we eat.
That's right. You know, it's, you know, if you're full of McDonald's hamburgers or something, you know, it's enough to kill a Bigfoot.
Walking in the woods about 50 yards off trail with my adult son, there was a stone wall about 30 yards from me. I noticed a black figure behind this 2-foot-high wall. The animal was very black. I thought it was a bear at first. After 5 seconds, it stood up and walked deeper in the woods. It looked to be around 5 feet tall. Never saw a face. It just got up with its back to me and walked away fast. It had a cone-shaped head, no neck, a slim-looking body, very black hair, swinging arms, very long. Legs seemed shorter. It moved fast, but it didn't run. I yelled to my son, who was about 20 yards from my left, who tried to follow it. My son never had a visual, but he could hear it crunching ahead of us. We looked for about 3 hours trying to see it again, but could not find anything. Saw it for about 10 seconds, and then we both heard it walking for another 15 seconds. I think it was a younger one. 5 feet?
5 feet, that would probably be a young one, maybe a teenager.
One of those dopey teenagers?
Yeah. I can't imagine that Sasquatch teenagers are any smarter than human teenagers.
Yeah. 8:30 p.m., we were driving back from Mount St. Helens. Sunny day, so we went to see the mountain that day. We were driving down the road along the side of the Toodle River, which was to the right of the van. We were in the family van at the time. We were driving some time on the road. I had my RCA video camera fully charged, ready to go. I was in the back seat. My daughter, in the seat in front of me, she was about 8. When out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a large brownish red gray, what I thought was a bear at first, standing in the river up to its middle calf. It had to be 9 feet tall. It was in the water about 5 feet from the bank. The sunlight was shining on this creature. It was massive in size, stature, and girth. You could see the arm muscles, back dorsal muscles, leg muscles, buttock, and thigh muscles. It was facing backside to us. The head was the size of a 5-gallon bucket. Massive. I was so shocked at what I was seeing. It was no bear at all. It had massive shoulders. You could see all the muscles through the dense hair. It was amazing. This was the elusive Sasquatch. It looked like a giant, massive, hairy man with massive arms that were long. It had to be a male. It was looking down as though he was fishing or looking to find something to eat. I was so amazed at what I was seeing. I said, "Hey, Meg, look at that." That was the name of my daughter. She saw it too. To this day, she remembers what she saw and believes it was a Bigfoot. If you ever get a chance to see one, you will never forget it. It's always in my mind. I painted a picture of it. It turned out well. This is a true story. I stake my life on it. 9 feet tall. Standing in the river. People always ask me, like, they're not from here or something, and they'll be like, we were going to go Sasquatch hunting at Mount St. Helens, or just, it's like, you just go here.
Yeah, you don't have to drive 2,000 miles.
Right,
to
just
see
go
them.
Here. They're yeah. all over here. You just don't know it. You just don't understand. And we're like ground zero. Go up Donkey Creek Road. Just walk around the woods. You'll have a good time.
Yeah, even out in Little Ocean Shores.
Right, Ocean Shores.
Where it's basically just a peninsula that sticks out in the ocean.
Yeah.
It's about a mile and a half wide, 6 miles long. There have been Bigfoot sightings there.
I will tell you, I've always said this, I probably sound like a broken record. If you go on the BFRO website under Grace Harbor, let's see, Ocean Shores, 1, 2, 3, 4, Pacific Beach, that's close enough for me, 4, 5, 6. Six of the most recent sightings are Ocean Shores.
That says something about Bigfoot, that Bigfoot is, of course, you know, recently they've cut down, you know, probably several hundred acres worth of timber out there.
Of course they did.
And
why wouldn't they?
Yeah, so that if there were Bigfoot out there, they'd have far less habitat, which means that they're, you know, moving
into, they're running out of places to go.
Yeah, they're going to move more into populated areas, just like the, you know, the cougars and the other wildcats and the bears and the deer and the rabbits and, you know, all the little forest creatures are starting to move closer to us simply because there's less habitat out there. But, you know, Ocean Shores is an interesting place because it's not like it's a heavily wooded area.
Right.
There are parts of it that are. The Weatherwax property is actually a rainforest. But even that, when you're walking out there, it's you can see through the woods. You know, it's not all that dense so that you couldn't see through it. And there's paths and there's people that walk out there all the time. That would be the most logical place, I would think, to see a Bigfoot. But I suppose there's other places. And
we don't deal with logic here.
Yeah, as the city gets more built out, there are fewer and fewer, you know, wooded lots left.
Right. More people from the city coming here, buying their lot to get their piece of the country.
That's right.
Yeah. Got to build me a new house because there's not enough old broken down ones just to fix up. Got to build
right.
me a new one. And that wood right there, I'm going to just clear off so I can have me my brand new house.
That's right. And that's what they do.
I'm not jaded.
No.
November elk hunting in the Colonel Bob Wilderness in the Olympic National Forest. First day of modern elk season, high above the Hump Tulips River. As I was setting my truck tent up for the night on a remote spur road, I heard what I believed to be elk movement in the gully ravine below me. The area is a good elk hunting location. I've had success there in the past. It was too dark at the point to pursue any bull, so I decided to make a cup of coffee, fire up my lantern, do a little reading before crawling into my truck tent for the night. It was a few minutes after I sat down that I heard a tree in the high timber above me being moved. It sounded like it was being pushed or shoved until it crashed to the forest floor. I'm familiar with timber. I've spent my entire life running chainsaws and around logging. The tree was large, and there was no wind or weather, so I rationalized it was just a weakened tree in the forest that possibly a bear or other large mammal just happened to rub against until it came down. But what happened next unnerved me, unlike anything I have ever experienced. And about 5 minutes after the tree incident, I heard extremely loud limbs breaking, like fir or hemlock limbs generally being snapped from a tree. The echo of this resonating through the deep timber and deep into the ravine below me. It seemed to be around 100 to 120 yards above me to my north. Then I heard the same thing in the ravine below me, and another smaller tree snapping and crashed. Then I heard a very odd sound. I tried to describe it to my family, and all I can compare it to is almost like a primate-like sound, and it echoed through the timber. At this point, I packed up and drove the 7.5 miles back out the gravel forest service road. I've never been as unnerved as I was. I had the overwhelming sense of being surrounded, and could not rationalize what I had encountered. I spent my entire life hunting and camping in the backcountry of Washington and Oregon. I'm a big game hunter and hunt alone much of the time. I'm familiar with big game in Washington. I have no explanation for what I've heard. Now, I've heard Sasquatch pushing trees over in the woods. I will play one now and loop it. I was laying in my cot outside in 22-degree weather listening to that tree get pushed down. You can't. It's hard to hear, but it's a parabolic microphone, and it was, you know, a distance. It was, I want to say, within 50 yards of where we were.
Yeah.
I was frightened. I was like, they must be mad. They must be angry.
Maybe they were. Do you know how difficult that is to snap a tree limb like that? I mean, have you ever tried that?
And this was a tree getting pushed over.
Yeah.
And that's what this guy is talking about.
Have you ever tried to push a tree over in the woods?
No. No, but Thinker Thunker has done an analyzation of a video of an alleged Sasquatch throwing a tree. Now, it's a smaller tree. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's a hoax and this and that. And he's using science and math to show you why it's not a human, because a human wouldn't be able to throw this smaller tree the way this alleged Sasquatch is.
Right.
Because it's one thing to think of throwing a tree, 12-foot tree that far, but to yank one out of the ground, that's mind-blowing to me. Mind-boggling.
I'll post the video on strangeharbor.net and let you decide for yourself, but it's really a compelling argument that he gives. Because he uses examples of humans in competitions of like shot put and things like that.
Sure.
And how much this tree would weigh using scale and just science. And he's like, okay, well, if sure. a human can do that, then that's a superhuman.
Just try to pick up a broken limb.
Right.
Shove a tree over.
Right.
It's heavy. Wood is heavy.
Yeah. That was Hump Tulips, Donkey Creek Road.
Yeah. So why do you think they do that? Why do you think they push trees over?
I don't know.
Is it just
bored?
Like fun, like cow
yeah.
tipping or something, you know?
They're bored. You know, one area that I went to, there were a lot of big trees. They're, how round is about like that?
About 8 inches, 9 inches, yeah.
They were snapped off right at the 8-foot mark, right?
Yeah.
All of them. But then the part that was broken off was kind of interwoven. And it kind of looked like a forest jungle gym.
Uh-huh.
That's what it looked like.
Maybe it is. Maybe they build little, you know, little courses for their young ones to play on.
That was an idea.
Pretty soon they'll be putting up rope swings and
they were trying
slides and
but
things.
But then try to break at the 8-foot mark. I mean, even wind. I mean, because in this area, the smaller trees were sheltered by the bigger trees.
Right.
So it's not like the wind can come through and boom, break that one tree over in this area and then, you know, make the top broken part weave through this and that and underneath and then another one over here. And then it was just impossible.
Yeah, because usually if it's wind, you can tell because all the trees are snapped off in the same direction.
Right.
They all lay over in the same direction. You can actually kind of see where the gust of wind came through.
Yeah, this had a little, you know, or big tree breaks in all different directions, but it looked like a jungle gym.
Yeah. Maybe it was.
I don't know.
It was like when, if you went up by Mount St. Helens after it erupted back in, what was it, 1980 or whatever. If you went up and you looked and you stood up on top of the hill, you could see that the forces that knocked the trees over were directional. It was the wind and the blast from the explosion. So it was like somebody laid them all down in the same direction. Wind does the same thing when it comes through our heavily wooded areas. It knocks trees down, but it knocks them all down in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So when you find trees that are knocked down in different directions, you know, or that have been moved around, that suggests something. I don't know what, but it suggests something.
Right.
It's a mystery, you know, it's a mystery. The Bigfoot thing is a mystery, and maybe someday we'll solve that mystery. I feel sorry for the Bigfoot if we ever do solve that mystery, because I think they're trying to live away from
us. I'm going to get my piece of the country.
Yeah.
Who cares about anything else? I'm going to buy that lot of land and build me a house.
Cut all the trees down and sell them.
Yeah. Yep. It's all about me and my piece of the country.
I wonder if some of these guys that clear these forests, I mean, out by us, I mean, it's hundreds of acres that they clear cut. Maybe even thousands of acres, I don't know. I mean, it's like as far as you can see in a couple different directions. I wonder if they ever encounter Bigfoot. Of course, by the time they get there with their loud saws and their trucks and all their equipment and everything going, chain line that drags the logs out of there, they probably have driven them away long before they would ever see one.
Some have been vandalized, and whatever vandalized the heavy machinery left out in the woods, you know, it was too strong, too big for humans to do it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, those barrels of, you know, diesel were thrown across, you know, a punk kid or you and I couldn't do that.
Right.
You know.
The barrel alone is pretty darn heavy, much less full of diesel fuel.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Hey, maybe if any... You run into some loggers say, I've been in the woods my whole life and I ain't seen nothing. Well, yeah, probably weren't looking.
And that's just it, too. Is if you're out there and you're not looking, if you're not aware, I love the word awareness because I think that most human beings lack awareness. You really have to work at being aware of seeing everything around you. The colors, the shapes, the smells, the sounds. I mean, we have to use all of our senses to be aware. And awareness is where we see things, where we learn, where we grow, where we have experiences. When we don't have much awareness, we're just kind of blindly going through life. We don't see much or experience much. So I think that the average human being is not very aware of what's happening out there in the world.
Most people aren't aware what socialism is, yet they think they want it. Yay, socialism! Can't define it, though. But anyway, I digress. I had someone explain it to me this way. They know the moment you step in the woods, because we're so loud and... Anyway... That'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to share any Sasquatch sightings, UFO sightings, abduction, any of that kind of stuff, if you want to yell at Bill for his New Age TUI, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
And give us that. Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.